The date is December 1st, 1989, and we're watching National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Welcome to I Used to Like This One.
Merry Christmas!
Hello and welcome to I Used to Like This One, the show where we take a look back at movies we remember from our childhood and attempt to look past the nostalgia to see if they still hold up. My name is Sean Wells, and with me, as always, is the cousin Eddie to my Clark Griswold.
Hello, everybody. I'm Colin Stewart.
And this week we do have a guest back, someone who was with us last Christmas that we forced to sit through an Ernest movie. I mean, she loved it anyway, but please welcome back Marissa Dingle.
Hey!
So excited to have you back. Now, vacation-wise, do you have a history? Like, how well do you know the entire franchise?
Zero.
Oh, wow. Was this a first watch?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I can't wait to get there. So, okay, this week we are looking back at December 1989 when the movies in theaters were Steel Magnolias, The Little Mermaid, Harlem Nights, Back to the Future Part 2. I'll throw in a bonus because there's a connection on this show. Toxic Avenger Part 3, The Last Temptation of Toxie. And, of course, our movie for today, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, which earned $74.53 million on a $28 million budget. Respectable.
Nice. Well, of course, there will be spoilers ahead, so don't fall off the roof. Just hit pause, go watch the movie, and come back and hear what we have to say.
So I found three taglines for the poster of this movie. The first one... Now that you've survived the holidays, you deserve a vacation.
Sure. Kind of lame, but...
Yeah. I guess all the words you need are right there. I mean, yeah, well, number two, there's no place like home for a holiday.
See, I feel like in that one, they should have said there's no place like home for a vacation.
Yeah, well, there you go.
That would have been a... more wordplay.
Yeah, it's kind of weak sauce a little bit there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, number three, this is the one that I know most. I see this one the most whenever I see Christmas Vacation. You'll crack up. And of course, it's obligatory because it's Christmas that Yule is spelt like the log or the tide. Yes, you'll crack up.
Flint.
Yep.
More I guess.
Wah, wah, wah. Yeah. Well, it doesn't say much, so let's go to Colin and get a festive 60-second synopsis.
Yeah, I'm pulling from Google on this one. I really struggled to come up with a synopsis for this one that wasn't just going to be like a beat by beat.
Yeah, okay.
Go through the movie. So, anyways. As the holidays approach, Clark Griswold wants to have a perfect family Christmas, so he pesters his wife Ellen and children as he tries to make sure everything is fine, including the tree and house decorations. However, things go awry quickly when his hick cousin Eddie and his family show up unplanned and start living in their camper on the Griswold property. Even worse, Clark's employers renege on their holiday bonus he needs so that he can buy his family a fancy swimming pool. There you go.
Oh, wow. I think that's definitely an under 60-second synopsis. It's been a while.
It'll make up for like all the ones that have been 5 minutes long.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, boy. So Christmas Vacation, this and European Vacation are the two that I know the most. This is one of those ones I've always loved it growing up. And it was discussed in our previous vacation episode that when I think of Audrey and Rusty in a movie, it's usually Johnny Galecki and Juliette Lewis that I think of. They're kind of my Russ and Audrey, you know, more so than some of the other ones. But I always loved this movie, but it has been quite a while since I've seen it. So it was a fun revisit. Marissa, you have never seen Christmas Vacation. This is, as Colin and I like to put it, you know, this is a TBS Superstation movie. This is one of those ones that's like on 24/7 somewhere on cable, or, you know, it's around constantly during the holidays. How have you dodged it?
Honestly, I don't know. I know of the movie. I've known of the movie for a very, very, very long time. Yeah. It's like, I mean, it came out 2 years before I was born, so like, that might have a factor to do with it. But honestly, okay, I'm one of those people where there's a lot of classic movies that people are like, how on earth have you not seen this yet? Like, I don't know what it is. It's evaded my grasp.
I do a weekly podcast with one of those people, so believe me.
Yeah, right here.
Yeah, so don't worry. I've been shocked by some of the ones that Colin hasn't seen before. Okay, and Vacation series, you've never seen any of them, even the newest, like Ed Helms one.
See, I was thinking about that as I was watching this one, because didn't Ryan Reynolds do a National Lampoon?
Yeah, Van Wilder.
He did Van Wilder, yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, that's the only National Lampoon thing I have ever seen.
Oh, wow. Okay, so no Animal House.
To my knowledge.
Okay.
Nope. Yeah.
No. Oh, wow. Okay.
Sean's in shock.
Yeah. No, I've been doing this show. I've been friends with Colin for 5 years at this point. So, I mean, I've been surprised a few times, so I've learned to expect the unexpected. Well, okay, Colin, Christmas Vacation, tell me that you're not in the same boat as Marissa for this one. I think this is one you're familiar with, but it's a recent familiarity, I believe, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm definitely familiar with it, but it is one of those movies where, like, if you had asked me before I watched it this week if I could tell you what the narrative arc of the whole story was, I could not have told you. But I could have been like, oh yeah, there's like the funny toboggan hill thing, there's the house with the crazy amount of lights. And weirdly, I would have just remembered that Julia Louis-Dreyfus is in this movie for some reason.
That's fair.
So yeah, I'm like, it's what would you do? This movie is like a background movie. I think it's actually, the more I even thought about it after watching it, it's like the quintessential background Christmas movie that you put on in the morning, on Christmas morning, and then go about your Christmas business. And it's just there, and you can kind of like check into it, but like, you don't really ever have to really know what's happening or follow it to enjoy it. And that's kind of how I feel about it. And that's been my experience of it for most of my life. Like I said, it's just all like you said, I should say, it's always on.
Yeah.
On like around Christmas time. Like I bet if I had access to like a satellite television right now, I could go on there and find it.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah. Yeah. This is one that, because each day is kind of its own event as he goes through the advent calendar, it very much is like a series of sketches that you can dip in and out and just enjoy each particular day on its own.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked. I mean, maybe we'll get to this later, but like, I was shocked a little bit by how thin of a story there is in this movie.
Yeah. Right?
It really does just seem like a series of funny funny dad getting into Christmas hijinks with like this small little narrative of, is he going to get his Christmas bonus?
Yeah. Well, vacation wise, I forget. I know I have forced you to watch European Vacation as well. What other ones have you seen?
I think just Europe and the Ed Helms one. I don't think I've seen the original or Vegas.
Okay. Cool. Well, let's jump into National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, directed by Jeremiah Chechik. Christopher Columbus was attached originally, though, and he dropped out before any cameras even rolled because he realized he wouldn't be able to work with Chevy Chase.
Oh, wow. Chevy Chase was a dick that far back?
Yeah, yeah. He's like, no, I'm out. Fuck that guy. Yeah, and he went and directed Home Alone instead.
Oh.
Yeah. Made for less money and made like 6 times more, you know? But, well, yeah, it goes back a while, that's for sure. Yeah, the history of his dickitude is legendary for even 35 years.
That's unfortunate, because I always thought, like, for whatever reason, I remember really loving Chevy Chase's late night TV show. That was one of the first ones I'd ever watched, and I remember thinking he was a funny guy. Even when I first started watching Community, I liked Pierce. But then, as you kind of heard how the, I guess the lines weren't that blurry between the character and real life, this I was like, oh man, that's sad. Like, he just, like, must have become so jaded or something.
Yeah, it got tough to separate art and artist in this one.
Yeah, but to know that he was... that he's always kind of been an asshole really makes me sad.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, produced by John Hughes and Tom Jacobson and written by John Hughes. So we open this movie with my favorite animated opening. I've always loved this cartoon opening. And, you know, this song is still a fucking banger. I love that song.
Yeah, this is also one of the, I would say, the hallmarks of this movie that you, when I think about this movie, I think about this opening title sequence and that song. Poor Santa.
Genuinely my favorite part of the whole movie, I'm not gonna lie. That it's like you said, Sean, like, that song is, like, so catchy. Like, oh yeah, I love this. And they played it at the end, too. I'm like, oh yeah!
Yeah, Holiday Road is in every other vacation movie, but this one is the only one that doesn't have Holiday Road, but it has this instead, and it's a worthy substitute. Because I like Holiday Road, too. Now, Marissa might not know that song, or maybe you just do. Yo, damn. Okay, there's a Zac Brown Band version out there if you don't want to listen to the original Lindsey Buckingham version. But anyway, that's other vacation movies. I never realized, though, until this watch, and I guess this will mean nothing to you guys, but there are so many references to the first vacation movie that have gone over my head so much for years in this movie. Like, there's some obvious ones that I've always known, but there were a few that on this viewing, I'm like, oh, read some trivia, got a little insight and went, oh, okay, that makes more sense now. Or that's an interesting detail to throw in. So maybe I'll pepper those ones in as the conversation goes on. But Colin, first, we need to talk about this stacked cast list. I mean, this one is huge.
Yes. All right. We already talked about Chevy Chase.
Yeah, Chevy Chase. Clark Witt Griswold, yeah.
Beverly D'Angelo is Ellen.
Yeah.
Randy Quaid is Cousin Eddie. Leonard Hofstetter, Johnny Galecki is Russell Griswold, Rusty.
You know, interestingly, with Johnny Galecki, he was in Prancer the same year, which is also a Christmas movie. In 1989, there were two Christmas movie, like Christmas-themed movies released, like that entire year. Prancer was the other one, and Johnny Galecki was also in that one. Fun fact for you.
Okay.
Maybe it'll come up at a trivia night.
It's funny that John Hughes, this is a John Hughes movie, because I was going to say that Juliette Lewis, her Audrey Griswold, also looks like just a stereotypical Hughesian teenage girl, like we talked about in Uncle Buck.
Yeah, she definitely does.
Just a real asshole. Julia Louis-Dreyfus is Margot Chester?
Yeah.
Ellen Hamilton is Ruby Sue Johnson? Who's Mary? Nicolette Scorsese? Is that Martin Scorsese's something?
Mary is the, like, underwear salesman at the department store. Yeah. I don't know if she's related. However, the guy that plays Todd, Nicholas Guest, that's Christopher Guest's brother.
Okay.
Well, because we've got an SNL person starring, of course we have Brian Doyle Murray show up as the boss, Frank Shirley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have John Randolph as Clark Griswold Sr. Diane Ladd as Nora Griswold. Marie Barone, Doris Roberts, Frances Smith. She's probably the person I actually recognized.
Yeah. Well, there will be another one out of the old people. William Hickey Lewis. He was Dr. Finkelstein in Nightmare Before Christmas. Right. Yeah. And Mae Questel, who plays Bethany. This was her final film. We saw her in Who Framed Roger Rabbit because she is the voice of Betty Boop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, is just in that movie or like the actual full-time voice of Betty Boop?
No. She was the original Betty Boop, which is why it was such a big deal that she voiced her in Roger Rabbit as well, yeah. And then, of course, I like to shout out someone like Sam McMurray as well, because, you know, he's the guy that slaps Chandler's ass on Friends. Bing! I also love him Raising Arizona. Yeah, it's a big cast list, though. I'm like, someone like Johnny Galecki. I love seeing baby Johnny Galecki.
See, and you guys said that, and I love Johnny Galecki, and I had zero idea that was him.
Like, until just now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't recognize him. Like, I read that it was him, and then when I watched it, I was like, I just don't see it. And weirdly, because I watched it, I love The Big Bang Theory. But I was like, his voice almost sounds deeper as a young boy than it does in that show.
Yeah.
And so then I was like, is that not his, is he just not talking in his real voice?
Yeah, but he talks in a bit of a deeper voice on Roseanne when he plays David.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just to let you guys know, too, I did a quick Google and Nicolette Scorsese has no relation to Martin.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Fantastic. The more you know. I love it. Yeah. Doing some extra overtime over there for us.
So I wanted to ask you, like, because maybe you're the expert here, so maybe you would know.
Okay.
European Vacation, according to a review I read, European Vacation occurs before this movie.
Yes. Yes, it does. And it was like a 1985 movie.
Yeah. We watched European. I feel like the kids' ages are off.
Well,
like,
yeah, the
I feel
the
like
kids
Rusty
ages...
is way older in... Is that like a running? Is that just a running joke with
yes,
Vacation,
it is.
Or is that just like we don't care about continuity? Or
well,
something?
Here we go. Sit back. I'm gonna tell you a little tale here. So the with Vacation, the original Vacation, I forget who it is that plays Audrey. God damn it! But the original Rusty is Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah.
So when European Vacation came around, they said, "Hey, Anthony Michael Hall, would you like to do European Vacation?" And he said, "No, I would like to do this weird science movie instead." So he gave up being in the Vacation franchise to do Weird Science, which is a bit of a piece of shit if you've ever seen Weird Science. I've seen it recently. Thank you, Aaron, for joining me on that one. But so because of that, they decided to recast Audrey as well. And so it's been a running joke ever since that Rusty and Audrey are always played by different people. So it doesn't fucking matter what their ages are. The parents always age. And
well, I was going to say, like, my theory was that, like, Vacation as itself is kind of like just a weird photo album, like the movies. Like, it doesn't really matter when they occur.
Yeah.
Like they could, like, the specific movie, their chronological order doesn't really matter. And I don't know if they make reference to dates or not, but like you could just re-put them in order if you felt like you wanted to. But I did just think it was weird because I remember watching European Vacation and that one, like, I could have sworn that Audrey was like the younger sister in that one, and then in this one she's clearly like the older.
Yeah, and she had Richard Dawson making out with her in that one, and there were all those questions about that. But yeah, no, with Rusty and Audrey, because they always recast them, it doesn't matter anymore. Like, it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just a running gag at this point. But now, that's a perfect segue, though, into the things that tie it into the original Vacation movie is Cousin Eddie. Because Cousin Eddie hasn't been able to hold work for 7 years, and in the original Vacation movie, he has just been laid off from the asbestos factory. And so, timeline-wise, it all matches up. He hasn't been able to keep a job since the first Vacation movie, even though the kids are still around the same age, right? And shoes that Cousin Eddie is wearing are shoes that Clark gives him in the original Vacation movie. And when Clark is poking around in the attic, he finds the Mother's Day gift that says Happy Mother's Day 1983. And that's the date that the original Vacation movie came out as well. And if I remember correctly, there was something about missing, like a Mother's Day or something in that. Yeah, I guess that gag was supposed to go on longer, too. Originally, in the original script, as he went around the attic, he kept finding packages that he had hidden over the years.
What would the punchline have been? Like a corpse of some sort?
Yeah.
A box with like a dead hamster in it.
Yeah.
A fishbowl.
a sad little castle with gravel and a skeleton. Yeah. So we open this movie with the Griswolds driving along the highway singing Christmas carols. The road rage on Clark. I mean, I don't understand why you would provoke these guys the way that he does. You know?
I also feel like that's very much real. Like, it was a little exaggerated, but, like, even just, like, the, oh, this guy's tailgating me, so then you slow down and you don't pass. It's like, oh, my God. Then it's like, I'm going to prove a point.
Yeah.
I feel like I've seen that. I've witnessed that.
Yeah.
It's true man. It's, like, true man behavior.
Yeah.
I think the only thing missing, because I can envision my parents driving with their kids in the back, all that's missing is, like, her freaking out.
I would have never suspected that Fast and the Furious ripped off Christmas vacation,
yeah. It's like, hey, we could do that, but we could do it with like little souped up Hondas.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, there's the bit where he like starts praying before, you know, he goes to jerk himself off. Wow. To jerk himself back out from underneath the truck. He says that prayer. When he says amen, it sounds like he says gay men. And I'm wondering just, you know, whether it's just the delivery of it or whether because it's Chevy Chase, knowing what I know about Chevy Chase nowadays, whether it's that's the kind of joke that he would throw in because he thought it was funny.
I don't know. You'd have to ask the man, I guess.
I guess so. Well, you know, drop us a line because I know you're listening to this, Mr. Chase.
Yeah. Email.
Yeah, that's right. I'm assuming when they go to get their tree, that all that walking that they do, that you see from a distance, that's all just body doubles, right? You that's not them out there, right?
I can't imagine they would pay actors to do that. No.
You don't see my face. It's not me.
Yeah.
I felt like that was one of the most illogical scenes in the entire movie because they go out so far in like what appears to be fresh, like, powder.
Yeah.
They trudge, like, I don't know, I'm gonna guess 3 kilometers into the forest, realize they forgot the saw, and then we're assuming they walked all the way back and drove that tiny little car that I'm sure could not, like, plow more than a meter to that tree, and then use that tiny car to then pull the tree out by the roots and strap it to the top, and off we go. Like,
so you're thinking hauled it out. Okay. Funny is that this scene actually exists in the script. Yeah, and it was cut. But in my DVD, when you open, because I've got the old cardboard DVDs, when you open it, there is a picture that is from the scene that explains how he actually gets the tree out of the ground.
Hmm.
And it was cut out of the movie. I can't find it anywhere. But it's like, I vaguely remember this. But it's this, they trudge all the way back to the guy, an old guy that's sitting, he runs the lot. They ask to borrow a saw, and he goes, no saws. And he like points at a sign where it's like, bring your own damn saw, right? And so instead he hands them a shovel.
What?
Okay. All right, well...
So
my theory stands.
Well, the hard cut to the tree on top of the car, though, is so much funnier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did you bring a saw? No. Bah, yeah, and they're driving back, right? Yeah.
Hmm.
But then they get back to the house, and that's when we get to meet Margot and Todd. Oh my God, do I love Margot and Todd. They are some of the best characters in this movie. Where, hey Griswold, where are you going to put that tree? Bend over and I'll show you. How dare you? I wasn't talking to you.
I want to watch their movie. Right? I like those guys a lot better, but this was another thing where, like, because I've only seen this movie in pieces, I thought that there was more of a like almost like that Seth Rogen, Zac Efron movie that where they
the
do
neighbors.
Like the neighbor pranks.
Yeah.
Like I thought there was like a more of a back and forth between the two sides, but it's really just like,
oh, he's just shitting on them. Margot.
Yeah, Margot, like he's just really like making their life difficult. They don't really ever retaliate.
Well, why is the carpet wet, Todd? I don't know, Margot. Fuck. Yeah, you're right. I want their side movie because they were hilarious. And having not seen this movie in a few years and knowing more Julia Louis-Dreyfus, you know, it's that much funnier to me because she is hysterical in this movie.
Yeah, I love Julia Louis-Dreyfus. She's like... She's one of my favorite. She's so funny. She's so funny. She's so good.
Yeah. No, nothing beats the Elaine dance, you know?
No. The more I watch Seinfeld, the more Elaine becomes my favorite character.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's so funny.
One thing I will say is that these neighbors, though, they're justified in thinking that Clark Griswold is an asshole. I mean, this guy does nothing but abuse these people. And sure, they're like these weird yuppie douchebags, but they don't deserve anything that they get. I mean, Clark Griswold is the true villain of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I would say so. Like, he is a terrible neighbor. Like, and I say this as somebody who, like, and my day job deals with neighbor disputes all the time. Like, I couldn't fathom how many complaints the city of Chicago or wherever they live has received about the Griswold house.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I found fascinating, though, about Margot and Todd's house, it's the Murtaugh house from Lethal Weapon.
Socially?
Yeah. The Griswolds live next door to the Murtaugh house. I thought that was a fascinating bit of information. I don't know. It was fun.
But are they, isn't Lethal Weapon, doesn't that take place in California?
It does, yes. Both these houses are on the back lot of Warner Brothers Studio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Really? I did not realize this was a studio that was a,
right?
Like a soundstage or whatever.
Because that snow looks real.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine they carted in that much snow every day, or maybe they did. I mean, $28 million budget in 1989.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. One of the props I'll give to this movie, because I watch a lot of Hallmark movies, and one thing about Hallmark movies that really annoys me is it's, like, the dead of winter, and people will just be outside in, like, a windbreaker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, like, and maybe a thin pair of gloves. But I did appreciate that in this movie, like when people go outside, they bundle up.
Oh, they're bundling. Yeah. Okay, now, I mean, we were a little mean to Chevy Chase. I will give major props, though, with how great of a physical comedian he is in this movie. He really is quite funny in that department. Like, starting with the sap bit. The sap bit in bed where he's reading a magazine.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
How was he? We need Joel Sims on the case for this one. I'm sure he seemed to know a lot about Tim Allen's drug habit. I'm not sure if he'd have any information about Chevy Chase, but Chevy Chase does a lot with his face. That's very distracting. Like a lot of like wide eyes and like, I don't know, like, I don't know, maybe in the 80s that was funny. And now it plays to me more like he's some sort of like homicidal maniac. Mm-hmm. He's like just trying to stop himself from murdering everybody, but.
Well, another one that, I mean, maybe I'm getting woke or something, I don't know, but the counter girl scene, for some reason, was not as funny to me as it should have been or as it used to be. Like, it just, the whole, you know, it's a little nipply out. I mean, nipples, I mean, you know, nippy out, you know, like, I don't know. It just, it wasn't as funny to me.
I think you matured.
Yeah. But I do want more from, like, when Rusty comes up. That's when it gets funny.
Yeah.
Can't see the line, can you, Russ? And apparently there was more in the script there, too, where there was a little scene between them where he tries to backpedal on telling Rusty what he actually... No, it's innocent. It wasn't what you think.
I feel like that's definitely, like, an 80s dad joke that doesn't play the same as it.
No,
like it just doesn't, it doesn't play now. Like, even the idea of like, oh yeah, my wife's dead, like yeah. I think it's just, that was like a stereotypical man trope of the 1980s that's kind of probably for the better in a way.
Yeah, I can't imagine being so flustered that well, I don't know, I can't say that.
Yeah. I wondered that too. I'm like, does this actually like ever, did that ever, like, is this actually real? Because I'm sure that there's a lot of skits that are similar to that. I'm positive of it. Yeah. I'm like, does this actually happen in real life?
Yeah.
Ever?
Even celebrity, the idea of meeting, you know, someone that you are so enamored by that, okay. Like, I guess maybe then I would lose my words around them, quite possibly. But just because you're hot?
Yeah, right?
I don't know. And Colin, another Christmas movie, we get another It's a Wonderful Life sighting.
Yeah.
So that was pretty exciting.
We really should have kept track of that from the start of this podcast.
From the start,
when it came to Christmas, to see how many movies have It's a Wonderful Life in it.
That you don't know that it's Christmas unless it's It's a Wonderful Life playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a question. Are you guys real tree people or fake tree?
I'm a fake tree person.
I'm a real tree.
Whoa!
Oh, wow.
I didn't even know you type of people exist.
Yeah, it's not decorated yet, but
yeah,
real tree.
Yeah, I'm
a fake. I'm a fake tree, but I respect the hustle of the people who go out and get a real tree.
That's true. To me, it's just
I'm not a fan of the clean, like. The cleanup.
Oh,
I don't want
needles.
All
yeah,
needles all over the place and all that. And
are you a lot tree person, or are you a drive out to cut down your own tree person?
Technically, it's a lot. So my family all does it through the Sherwood Park. I want to say baseball league or junior baseball league or something. They order them all from Nova Scotia and they ship them here. Order them and then they bring them to the lot and then we just pick out which specific tree we want. But unfortunately there's like one family member that actually has a truck to pick them up. So I'm really lucky where I get to just sit at home and wait for it to arrive.
Wait for your tree.
I'm very
trees.
Spoiled that way.
Yeah. So yeah, I still enjoy the lights story. Everything about the lights is hilarious still. But the sight gag of, oh, I think we got a knot here, and he pulls out the giant ball of lights.
Ball.
That was so relatable.
Yeah. But my God, those are all incandescent bulbs. Like, how much would that cost? How hot would that house be?
Was kind of struck by he keeps making, he's like, oh, you got to make sure you check every light to make sure that it's whatever. But like when he pulls up the knot, there's so clearly so many light bulbs missing as well.
Yeah.
That I was just, I don't know.
Well, and like, I know that used to be a thing with Christmas lights, but that was always like the braided indoor mini lights ones. Like it was never outdoor lights where if one goes, the whole string goes, was it?
I don't know. I do like it. I don't know if it was outdoor or indoor, but I do remember that being a thing when I was younger. And I often think now, even when like I bought a bunch of Christmas lights this year, and I was just a bit in awe of like the technological advancement that we've seen in Christmas lights.
Yeah,
because I was like, oh yeah, I bet now you probably don't need to check every light. You can just have a few that that are there broken and figure it out later. Because that's the easiest way, is to turn them all on and then look for the ones that are out, rather than being like, okay, well, I have to check. Mm-hmm. Make sure it's like some weird process of elimination game you had to play. Just get a working string of lights going.
There isn't an app that just pinpoints the ones that are burnt out for you? Like, they haven't gotten that smart? It's not like...
Well, no, they probably have, because you can buy lights now that you can connect to your phone to change the colors.
Oh, yeah. I've seen some of those impressive light shows out there, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. I always buy the ones... Even I was thinking, like, how he has to staple them all on.
Uh-huh.
Or whatever. I was like, I bought Christmas lights that just came with the clips attached so I could put them on my couch.
Oh, wow. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Apparently Chevy Chase broke his pinky punching Santa as well when it comes to, like, the blow mold. Yeah. That's why he kicks them for the rest of the scene. Yeah, it's because he broke his pinky, but he kept going and kicked them all, and they're like, okay, well, we'll keep that one. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. It's funny because it's Chevy Chase. I don't know. Here's another question about the presents in the attic. Why do you hide wrapped presents?
Oh, I didn't think of that.
Well, I mean, I have all my daughter's presents wrapped in our basement.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I'm trying to make sure she does, and I put them in the basement to make sure she doesn't see them. So maybe he put them in the attic, and then he was so good at hiding them that he hid them from himself.
Yeah, well, I mean, that is obviously the joke, is that he forgot where he hid them. But, yeah, they're already wrapped, so why do you need to, like, go to those lengths to hide them? I mean, with your daughter, you could put them out in the garage on a high shelf and cover them with a blanket. You know, yeah. Like, you know, you...
But I guess maybe the kids believe in Santa, and so he wants to put them somewhere where the kids won't go.
Oh, because it's recognizable paper.
If the kids are looking for them... Then they'll find them.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. There we go. Oh, and then the other question about the attic scene is, when he breaks through the ceiling and lands on the bunk bed, don't you think he could still kind of squirm his way through that hole onto the bed and into the house?
That's what I thought.
Okay.
Yeah, I was like, kneel down, guy.
Yeah.
You're free.
Yeah. Yeah, just sit your butt down and then scoot.
Yeah, right. But also I mean, I don't know anything about them, but I'm like, why couldn't you get out? If you just have a string that you pull, couldn't, like, when you step on it, wouldn't it just go down?
You would think so, but, like, there is the part where he's, like, jumping on it, and so it must be jammed in a way, or the string unlatches something, and there's no latch on, I don't know.
Because she just pulls the string, and then all of a sudden he flies out. I was like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, the latch has to be inside.
Yeah.
Like, he has to have access to whatever it is that unhooks.
He must.
But
then you don't get the hilarious bit of him falling.
Which is great.
It is funny. Yeah.
This is true. Yeah.
Same with getting smoked in the face with the ladder when he goes to get up there in the first place. Like I said, the physical comedy in this works for me. Like, I love when he first sets up his ladder and they say, you know, like the neighbors say, you know, oh, I hope he falls and breaks something. And Todd says, I'm sure he'll fall, but I don't think we'll be lucky enough for him to break something. But that that ladder of his, you know, it's a... Well, why don't I talk about it in Sponsorship Corner?
I was like, name... I couldn't even think of a brand of ladder. Mastercraft?
Yeah. Mastercraft?
Do tool companies just make ladders?
No, it's Werner Ladders.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, there we go. And so, always on the lookout for product placements. This week, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation is brought to you by Dodge and Chrysler. I wonder if it's supposed to be irony that the car chasing them in the beginning was a Dodge. I don't know. Yeah. People in Sassy Magazine, American Express, The Salvation Army, Looney Tunes, Werner Ladders, Meister Brau Beer, Evian Water, Alpo, Purina, and Old Roy Dog Foods, the Chicago Bears and Blackhawks, Nut and Honey Crunch Cereal, and Walmart. Plus the probably fictional Odie's Cereal. Air Grade Marine Epoxy. Those are both ones that he's working on in his office of whatever he does for a living. I still don't know what he does. But that epoxy is the same kind that they use in Blues Brothers when Dan Aykroyd covers the gas pedal in glue. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Speedball Messenger Service. And this has been Sponsorship Corner. So, we finally get to meet Cousin Eddie. Oh, boy. So, now, having no experience at all with vacation, Marissa, what did you think when good old Randy Quaid showed up and did his Randy Quaid thing?
Well, at first I was confused, because he kept saying, I can't, I never expected you to be in my house. Like, I was like, why is he so confused? Okay, there's obviously a history. So not knowing the history of these characters certainly made it confusing at first.
Okay.
And then it was just that, I don't know, I had a mixed feeling. So I'm like, I feel like this is one of the characters that you love to hate and you hate to love.
Yeah.
So I'm like, there are some things, like even at the end when he kidnaps the boss, and I'm like, oh, the best intentions, but so dumb.
Yep. Yeah. Now, this is a character that they have given their own movie to. And I had the pleasure of doing a little extra credit for this episode. And I watched Christmas Vacation 2 at Eddie's Desert Getaway.
I remember hearing about that. I forgot that was a thing that existed.
Yeah, so I watched that, like, literally about 4 hours ago. What a piece of shit that is. So, if you don't like Eddie as a character, this is... The style of comedy is different. Like, it doesn't even feel like this kind of movie. Like, it feels like something that, you know, Disney Channel put together or something like that. Like, it's, it has a very made-for-TV feel to it. But they just make Eddie dumber and dumber than he even is in this movie. And yeah, it's terrible. It's not funny. What a waste of time that was. And unfortunately, I own that movie because I saw it. I'm like, it was like $4.99. I'm like, what the hell? Why not? I will try Christmas Vacation too. But yeah, no, what a piece of shit. Yeah, so there is the bonus hidden gem in the Vacation series, in case anyone out there wants to see what a piece of shit this is.
I mean, it has, I don't know, I was going to say 49% of Google users like that movie, but it's 12% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yep. Yeah, it's got Ed Asner in it. It's got, like, the same wife. It's got a different kid, though. They've got a smart kid that is on this adventure, and he ends up getting stranded on a desert island only to find out there was a hotel on the other side the whole time.
Like, oh, spoilers, like a... man.
Oh, sorry. Shit. Yeah. Colin, I've known you for 5 years now. I don't think I've ever asked this question. Do you do winter sports at all?
I used to snowboard a lot. I would like to do it again. I just haven't ever got around to it. Winter sports.
Are you a skater at all?
I have a pair of skates that I've used once.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Like, can I mean, you skate backwards? I can't even skate backwards, you know?
I'm more of a, like, watch winter sports type person, not necessarily a play winter sports type person. Like, yeah, okay. I enjoy the Winter Olympics.
Yeah. Yeah, Marissa, are you a skier or snowboarder or winter sports person, skater?
I'm not a winter person, so I'm definitely not a winter sports person.
I love that three Canadians here, none of us are winter people, because, yeah, I'm not a skier or skater or snowboarder either. I tobogganing was my sport of choice. That was about the only thing that I ever liked doing in the winter. Now, have either of you ever seen a metal saucer?
No.
Okay.
Because I also thought that was strange. I was like, what is that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I also want to know how long that hill is. That's the tallest hill ever, because that scene just goes on and on and on. But yeah, I mean, as someone that's done a lot of tobogganing in his life, that's a distance I just can't get behind.
Yeah, I was never a fan of the saucer. I like a crazy carpet.
A crazy carpet is good.
That was more my go-to.
I had a GT snow racer at one point in my life.
Yeah, I had a GT, but I didn't like it. They were too scary.
Yeah, yeah. My buddy and I, there was this hill that kind of went through some trees. It was like, it was just off of the river valley, right? Or, well, it was in the river valley. And it was this neat hill because it had these weird bumps. Like, there were like 6 or 7 bumps going down. And we were always so mad because we could never make it to the last bump. We always wiped out before we could get to the last bump. And really, if we had made it over the last bump, we would have been in the fucking river. So, you know, that's how smart I was as a kid when it came to tobogganing. Because I loved jumps. Oh, man, when I got that GT snow racer, that was the best Christmas ever, because, I mean, I went out there and I built a fucking jump on the nearby hill, and, oh, yeah. I mean, you know, back when you don't wear a helmet, I'm wearing a toque. That's all the padding I need. It's snow. It's soft.
Yeah, when I was a kid, my favorite thing to do in the winter was, like, my uncle or my stepdad would make massive snow piles, and then me and my cousins would rip around on skidoos with a tube tied to the back, and then we just send each other flying off these hills. Those were good times.
Yeah.
Also, no helmets.
No, also, always no.
Could have died multiple times, but, you know, we're still
so
here.
Many times. Yeah.
That whole scene, though, was not as funny as I remember it being.
No.
No, I think it's probably one that is, like, funny once. Like, it's funny when you're not expecting it. I don't know, maybe Marissa can answer, but I was just kind of like, I don't know. It just didn't hit, like a lot of things in this movie, they just didn't hit as well as they used to.
Yeah, for me, like, I think maybe I'm just too familiar with the bit, because as soon as he started saying, oh, yeah, this is... nothing's greasier than this. I'm like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
So knowing it was coming, I think, minimized the hilarity of what it could have been.
It would have almost been funnier to cut out all the bit of him actually going down the hill. It would have almost been funnier if he had just done that, shoot him out like a cannon, and next thing you know, he's like, you know, like they're just watching from the top, and then he's flying through the air through the Walmart parking lot. Like, just leave the actual descent to the imagination for most of it, at least.
Yeah. Especially the beginning, like, where he's like, it's like he's on fire, like going through that yard. I'm like, and then all of a sudden it's like, just fast. I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
it would have been funnier to me if you just saw like him take off like a rocket. And then it just cut to, like, later that evening, everybody's at home, and he just walks in, like, I don't know, clothes all burnt up, like he just exited the atmosphere or something.
Yeah.
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 But yeah, it goes back to what we were talking about before, where like that this movie is just a series of SNL type sketches.
Yeah. Well, one sketch that I think still holds up is, well, you know what? I think we're going to do a little I used to like this One Piece theater.
All right.
So there is, of course, you know, the one classic thing that you see on all the Christmas vacation related sweaters out there around this time of year and everything like that. And I mean, it's this scene right here. So, Colin, I'm going to get you to play Clark. And Marissa, I'm going to get you to play Ellen. There's one line from Eddie. I'm going to get the pleasure of saying that one. So let's give this one a whirl. Give her a whirl, girl.
You have it?
Okay. I'm ready.
All right. Aren't you having any breakfast?
I'm not in the mood.
What are you looking at?
Oh, the silent majesty of a winter's morn. Clean, cool chill of the holiday air. An asshole in his bathrobe, emptying a chemical toilet into my sewer.
Shitter was full.
Ah, yeah. You checked our shitters, honey?
Clark, please. He doesn't know any better.
He ought to know it's illegal. That's a storm sewer. If it fills with gas, I pity the person who lights a match within 10 yards of it.
Yes! I used to like this One Piece theater. Shitter was full. The ultimate, you know, the ultimate quote from this movie. I do like the attention to detail, though, that this movie gives with setting up a few things that do come back later. It's the John Hughes thing, you know, it's like Home Alone, closing all the loops so that it's actually realistic that Kevin would be left home alone. You know, in this case, yeah, the explosion that happens later on is set up, or the fact that the tree burns down so easily is set up because of snot drinking out of it. You know, no, don't drink out of it. That'll just dry it up. I mean, I do like those attentions to detail that they put in here.
Yeah.
So now, the only other real people to add to the party, I mean, we haven't really even talked about any of the grandparents, but we, of course, have Lewis and Bethany show up to the main dinner. I gotta say, I've never noticed how much Bethany talks about her farting in the car. She says, I like farting in cars. I've never heard that line before. It was hilarious.
Yeah, I'll have to watch it again. I didn't hear that.
I like the bit where when they show up, though. The wrapped cat, the jello that's, you know, also wrapped.
Yeah.
But the cat in the box. Is he just doing that with his arm? Like, is he?
I wondered the same thing.
Yeah. Like, could you do that with regular ribbon and a box, or would you have to have some sort of stiffer, special handle to be able to do that?
That's kind of what I thought. It seemed like it didn't like swing. It was very like sharp.
Sharp. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that it was like something that was very like structured and not him doing it. I felt it was robotic almost.
Yeah. See, I felt like it was him doing it, but it can't be just with the ribbon as the handhold. Yeah, it's got to be a rigged box or something. I don't know. And the dry turkey gag is also funny.
The gas that comes out of it and then them all crunching on it after.
Yeah.
I love the scene when they're eating it and Clark just takes like the gravy boat or whatever it is and just like puts it all over. I was like, that would have been the first thing after I finished cutting it up, I would have just taken like a pot of gravy and just thrown all the chicken, all the turkey in there.
Yeah, just make a stew out of it or something.
Yeah, that was a really funny gig. Just like because it's unexpected. I don't know. Like it's just so. It's just the last thing that I would have thought would have happened.
Yeah.
Speaking of that eating scene, though, the first thing that I thought of was, oh my god, it's like 1989 ASMR.
Yeah.
Oh, that. Yeah. The
just like turn it down a little bit. I'm like, this is what people would love nowadays.
There's a market for it now,
right?
Yeah, it's not as soothing of a sound as a cat getting electrocuted, though. I mean,
I think that was my favorite. I laughed really hard at that one. Especially the hole in the floor, yeah, with like fur around it.
That was a scene that the studio wanted to cut, and they showed it to test audiences, and they rated that scene the highest, so it was kept in. So, but it's like, how could you? You would have had to cut so much other stuff out to cut around the cat, because they take the chair out to the curb because it's burnt. Mm-hmm. I like the collection of destroyed shit that's out on the curb, though. You know, the, yeah, the saucer with the burn hole. And it's all fire-related. Like, everything that goes wrong with the Griswolds is fire-related.
Yep. But why did Eddie take the saucer? I was like, what are you going to use that for?
A bump.
A nice wall decoration.
Yeah. The crotch grab. Did you notice the crotch grab when the SWAT team breaks in?
No.
With Ellen? No?
No.
Oh. When the SWAT team breaks in at the end because they've kidnapped the boss and they yell freeze and everyone freezes in position, Ellen's hand is right on Clark's crotch.
Oh.
Yeah. And, you know, like the wife even comes in and she shakes her hand and then puts the hand right back on his crotch. And I guess it was improvised by Beverly D'Angelo once. Out of all the takes they did, she improvised it once, and that's the take that they kept. And I'm like, great, that's hilarious. I'm glad that I noticed it, at least. It's too bad that you guys didn't see it.
No, but now I want to go back and look.
it's a funny moment, yeah. Pandemonium once we get to the end of this movie, though.
Yep.
Yeah, the ending for me was, clearly I'd never seen the ending of this movie before, because I had no idea how it all panned out. But I enjoyed the SWAT team kind of quite a bit. I also liked that after everything is resolved, they all it's like a Simpsons episode. Like the police all stay and party with everybody.
Yeah, they all party. Yeah, and then we blow up a Santa Claus and send him skyrocketing. Yeah. And then at the end. But Colin, did you wait around until the very end of the credits this time?
You know I didn't.
Okay, well, good, because there wasn't anything. But, interestingly, there was supposed to be a post-credit scene. And, you know, this is our Christmas episode. So, I think we're going to do a little bonus. I used to like this One Piece Theater.
No.
Unprecedented. Yes. Yes, because I have found the script for this missing scene, which is absolutely hilarious. Out of all the stuff that I found out that they cut in this movie, this is the one that should have stayed. Yeah, Marissa's laughing already. So, Colin, I am going to get you to play Todd, and Marissa, I'm going to get you to play Margot, and I'll do the stage directions, because this one is an unpolished one. So we've got post credits fade in. Interior, Todd and Margot's bedroom. Night. They're in bed.
It's over, honey. Griswold had his Christmas. Nothing else can happen. It's quiet. It's peaceful. All is calm.
Will you just hold me?
Of course.
He folds her into his arms.
Let's go to sleep and let visions of sugar plums dance in our heads.
I'm so tense.
Sweetheart, if we don't go to sleep, Santa Claus won't come.
You're so cute.
A long beat, and the Santa, the reindeer, and the lights crash through the ceiling into the bedroom. Fade out. Yes!
I love it.
I used to like it from Peace Theater, Part 2. I love it. Like,
they cut that. That would have been so funny.
That's amazing, right? Like, one last Todd and Margot scene getting bombarded by this Santa Claus that launched into nowhere, like launched into oblivion.
Yeah, that would have been great.
It would have resolved everything in this movie. There would have been no loose ends whatsoever.
Yeah, missed opportunity. That was good.
Yeah, that's a good one. Well, there we go. That is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Oh boy, now Colin, Marissa. On IMDb, it scored a 7.5 out of 10 and has a Metascore of 49. Yikes. On Rotten Tomatoes, 70% on the tomato meter and an audience rating of 86%. But Colin, those are just numbers. Like three separate boards to the head in the attic of your home. Hit us with some reviews.
All right, Karen Miller says 5 out of 5. Possibly my favorite Christmas movie. Much like a really well-done cartoon, there is a literal slapstick level that will make everyone over age 6 giggle, and an underlayer of blue humor for the adults. Between the two, I'm basically grinning from ear to ear the entire time.
Okay, yeah, I guess so.
T. Leap says 5 out of 5 stars. This is my all-time favorite Christmas movie. One year, about 12 years or so ago, my wife and I watched this movie all day long. I never tired of it then, and I love it just as much now. Every time I see it, I think back to that day. I'm watching it now on cable on demand. It's 2019.
Cable on demand. Yeah, you can find it anywhere.
Ala Rice says 1 out of 5 stars. This movie promotes buffoonish, sexist, disgusting man who doesn't listen to anyone. Despite repeated requests from his wife and kids to take a chill pill, he ignores all of them in search for a perfect family holiday, resulting in the discomfort and unhappiness of everyone around him. I literally could not enjoy any of the humor simply because this pig is idolized as the ideal family man despite his complete disregard for others' well-being. It's utterly repulsive.
Jeez.
Wow.
Nicholas Periano says 4 out of 5 stars. This is a great movie, but it's not like most National Lampoon movies before it. Such as the original Vacation to Animal House, it doesn't really make sense with the other vacation movies being in European vacation, the one before this. Rusty was a teenager, and this one he's a kid, but this movie is still really funny and great, and it is family-friendly, so I can get younger kids into this stuff like Chevy Chase and National Lampoon when they're a little older. Also, it's hilarious when Clark loses it. That guy needs to learn how to use a comma and a period.
You know what's funny is we have watched a few movies recently where I've said, I could have done without that kid. This is one where I could have done with a little bit more of the kids because they were both fantastic child actors. And I felt like they could have been given more to do because even when we go back to what we saw in European Vacation, Rusty and Audrey were given their own stories that branched off from the main family. Like, maybe this one's a little too Chevy Chase heavy. Could use a bit more kids.
Yeah.
I'd agree with that.
Adam P., last one, says 5 out of 5 stars. This is it. This is the closest thing to a perfect Christmas movie that exists. It's hilarious. The editing is so sharp and perfect. The acting is everything you want it to be. This isn't a deep and transcendent movie for any time of the year like It's a Wonderful Life. But for Christmas time, this is the top of the top for me.
You know what is missing from this Christmas movie, though? Christmas Day. This movie ends on Christmas Eve. You never see Christmas Day.
Travesty.
That seems like a Christmas movie sin, doesn't it?
A little bit.
Of course, meanwhile, Die Hard's my favorite Christmas movie, and I guess they never get to Christmas Day on that one either, so... Ugh. Right on, so there we go. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. I'm going to say that a lot of the humor doesn't hold up... Well, not a lot of the... Some of the humor doesn't hold up the way that I would have hoped that it would. Some of that is Chevy Chase related, maybe. I like the girl at the counter. I don't know whether I was totally on board for that scene anymore, but I still enjoyed it. I still love it. This is one where I'm still going to like Christmas Vacation because I always have, and it may not be the greatest that it used to be in my eyes, but I still had fun. Now, I'm fascinated, though, because you know, Marissa, we have a first time watch, and I mean, really, first step into the Vacation franchise. So, what did you think of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation?
You know, I think back in the day, I potentially could have liked it because this type of movie I do enjoy. Comparatively, though, to other Christmas movies, to other, you know, comedy, you know, slapstick kind of stuff, it's kind of like what Colin said before. It lacked a storyline for me. Like, I genuinely was sitting there. I'm like, what is the point of this? Like, I don't understand what's happening. And though that there was some bits that I genuinely thought was quite funny, a lot of it was definitely a miss for me. And I probably, like, I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it. Especially, like I said, comparatively to other Christmas movies that I like, would I go watch more vacation movies? Probably not.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I mean, maybe it should be called Christmas Staycation. I mean, you know, that is the point of it. It's family is coming for the for the holidays.
I did find it very relatable, though.
Yeah.
I genuinely, like, when I was watching it, I'm like, I think somebody just recorded their own family and put it into a movie. Like, is this just, like, a reality TV show? Like, yeah, it's kind of, I was like, I don't understand. Like, I was looking for a story that wasn't really there, you know?
Well, when John Hughes used to write for National Lampoon magazine, he had a series of vacation short stories that he did. And so it's kind of based off of that. Is that one of his stories was a Christmas vacation or, you know, family coming to visit story. The original vacation movie is based off of one of these essays that he wrote in National Lampoon magazine. So that's kind of the origin of it. It's sort of like a Christmas story being based on that guy's childhood as well. I mean, it's, but okay. I can see, you know, it's just, You wanted a villain, or you wanted, you wanted car chases. Wanted,
like, an arc, you know? But it was just, like, it just genuinely felt like a docuseries, you know? It was just like, this is our Christmas, come join us. And also the ending kind of bothered me, too, because here he is with, like, well, first of all, the fact that the boss is just like, okay, you're right, I was wrong.
Yeah.
He wasn't really involved previously, so it was just like, oh, you kidnapped me? Okay, you're right. And then he's like, hey, by the way, I'm going to take this bonus and I'm going to build us a swimming pool. Meanwhile, he's done all the damage next door and probably not going to cover any of that. And then his Eddie is standing there with broke with nothing for Christmas. And he's like, oh, I'm getting a swimming pool.
I do like, though, how it is brought up with, you know, remember how I was toying around with the idea of taking away the bonuses? And the wife is like, oh, my God, you didn't.
Yeah.
So I do like it because it's kind of, it at least shows that there's a history for why he would turn around so easily. Again, it's a John Hughes closing the whole situation.
I just don't think there was enough that he witnessed to be like, oh, fuck, you're right, I was wrong. You know, instead it was just like, hey, I was kidnapped, I showed up, I pissed you off, okay, you're right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big over the top ending, and that's,
of course,
that's what the National Lampoon movies get. Well, Colin, what about you? Christmas Vacation. I now know that you have for sure seen two vacation movies on my watch. What did you think of Christmas Vacation this time around?
I have a controversial opinion. I think that Christmas Vacation is actually an anti-Christmas movie.
Oh,
I don't think it's a Christmas movie at all. I don't think. Clark doesn't learn the meaning of Christmas at the end of this movie. Like what does Clark learn about Christmas? I get everything, like kind of what Marissa was saying, I get everything I want. I don't have to be accountable for any of my missteps and misdeeds.
He's an asshole to his neighbors.
I got to boss my entire family into submission, and everything works out the way I wanted it because I'm the man of the house.
Okay.
I don't know. That was kind of my takeaway. It's just like, I don't like, I love Christmas movies because when I finish a Christmas movie, I feel good. I feel like my spirit is warmed, you know, my heart is full of hot chocolate and marshmallows. And it's just like, you know, I'm full of Christmas cheer. And this movie is just kind of like, doesn't do it. There's no, like, there's no, it missed like the kid, like it missed the rebellion. Like it missed the family just like standing up to Clark at some point and being like, shut the fuck up and like just enjoy your life. Like you don't, like the fact that they still reward him by at the end with getting his Christmas bonus, I think was in terms of the Christmas, like sure, maybe it's funny as like a vacation movie or a National Lampoon's movie, but in terms of like specifically a Christmas movie, that's where it goes wrong. Clark needed to learn to put the bonus and the pool aside and just like remember what Christmas is all about, and it doesn't happen, and so no bueno for me.
No bueno. Okay. Interesting. One thing I forgot to bring up earlier is the scene where he goes to give his boss a present. And he comes in with the package and he puts it down on the desk, and everyone else has given their boss a present, and they all look exactly the same. Mm-hmm. What do you think it is? Did you take note of it? Chocolate?
No, I didn't notice.
No? Because it's got a tall part and then it's got like a lower part. Like it's definitely a very distinct shape, very, like two different boxes. I think it might be like a desk organizer.
Mm.
That was my thought. But why would you get your boss a gift? Like, are either of you people that would get a boss a gift? Like, because I know that me getting my boss a gift doesn't really benefit me.
I really think it depends on the relationship you have with your boss. If you don't have a tight relationship with your boss, I wouldn't. But for the last few jobs that I've had, I am quite tight with my boss. So I do. We usually do a gift exchange between the two of us.
But so Clark's, though, relationship with his boss. Though,
yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But at the same time, you get the sense that, like, everybody who works for this guy is just constantly kissing his ass.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say that, too. I was like, it definitely comes across as, like, a kiss-ass thing. And if you're the one person that doesn't, you're probably on the boss's shit list, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Even if he doesn't know your name.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. That is Christmas Vacation, and that's our show for this week. Oh, boy. Huge thank you to our guest, Marissa Dingle. Marissa, is there anything that you want to plug?
Nah, not at this time. I am working on something, but it's not complete yet. So maybe on the next one that we do, I'll have that exciting news.
Oh, when you come back for the original vacation.
So you're going to force me to sit through two of them, too? I'd probably say yes anyways.
I don't have to.
No, I love doing these. I'll happily do one anytime.
Right on. Well, if you like that show, you know, just tell somebody. Give us a Christmas present, because I gave you a Christmas present of an unseen moment of this beloved Christmas classic, right? We gave you the post-credit scene. So, you know, go just tell friends, or go give us 5 stars on whatever app you listen to your podcasts on. You know, things like that. Or if you want to go above and beyond and donate to the show and become an executive producer, go over to patreon.com/IUsedToLikeThisOne, become part of our Patreon family, and you get a shout out like Joshua Blum of the 13th Hour Podcast.
Be sure to check out our website, IUsedToLikeThisOne.com, where you can find links to all of our podcast episodes and social media pages. Drop us a line at IUsedToLikeThisOne@gmail.com. Let us know what movies you used to like, and then maybe you'll find us talking about them on the show.
And if you want to hear more from me, check out my other podcast, In Front of the Yellow Line, anywhere pods are cast. Music by Lyndon Carter. Look for his band, Carter and the Capitals, anywhere you listen to music. Oh, boy. Well, Merry Christmas, Marissa. Merry Christmas, Colin. Colin, that's our last show of 2023. Yeah.
Insert fireworks sounds.
Insert old fireworks
sign.
Yeah, we're gonna go look at fireworks instead, because the last Friday of the month is like the fifth Friday, so we're taking we take fifth Fridays off now. Anytime that there's. Yeah, we're pleading the fifth. Anytime there's 5 Fridays in a month, we take it off. But we've got something exciting in store for 2024, for January. Well, I think we still need to workshop a title, but it's posthumously released movies. We're going to go find some movies that it was the we're actor's last
wish
movie.
Wish You Were Here in the New Year.
Wish You Were Here. There you go. Wish You Were Here in the New Year. So, Colin, first up, this was your choice because of... Not because of the sad passing of a beloved actor that just happened. Like, that's why we're watching it, but that's not why it falls into the category of posthumously released, right?
No, we're watching the Matthew Perry, Chris Farley classic Almost Heroes.
Almost Heroes, absolutely. Chris Farley's last movie, Almost Heroes, that came out after he died. Yeah, so, but yeah, with the sad passing of Matthew Perry recently, Colin's like, you know what, I feel like watching that one. So we're gonna, but you gotta wait for the new year to hear it.
Yeah, this is it. I always love movies. It's I haven't watched as many movies as Sean, especially in my youth, so it's always fun for me when I get it through, I used to like this one film, which is what this is.
Yeah. Well, there we go. So until next year, can I be that guy that says that? Until next year, I'm Sean Wells.
I'm Stuart Collins.
Thank you for joining us in 2023, and we'll see you next time when we take a look at Almost Heroes on I Used to Like This One. Nice. Yay.
That was fun.
Another one in the can.
Dun, dun, dun. Do you guys want to hear a funny story?
Okay.
Yeah, of course.
So originally, when you reached out to me when I was in Orlando, you had asked me to do The Santa Claus, which is one of my favorite movies ever.
Yeah.
What I failed to note is when you said, when are you back? I missed the part where you said we're doing Christmas Vacation early December. So I was all ready to do the Santa Claus today. And then you sent me the link. I'm like, Christmas Vacation? Didn't he? And I scrolled back. I'm like, what? I literally watched it today after you sent me that link.
Nice.
Yeah. Otherwise, I would have been woefully unprepared.
That would have been funny if you're all like, yeah, Tim Allen is a hero of mine.
Yeah.
What? That's pretty awesome. I love that. Yeah. Well, I guess it's a good thing that I sent out the link early.
Yeah.